Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Said.
Hello again, I'm Mark Gleason and happy to have you back with us once more.
Yes, it's good to return again with some exciting guests on the Kosafa Show. And thanks again to all of those who've given us such positive feedback following our first two shows.
Once more, we look at what's happening in the Kosafa region, that is to say, Southern Africa. And on this show, we have another interesting lineup of guests. We start with the Zimbabwe international Ovidi Karuru, whose exploits in the Kosafa Cup have already earned him multiple winners' medals.
We talk to Lesotho coach Thabo Senong as the Kwena should soon be stretching their post-lockdown legs again and look to get ready for the resumption of the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers later this year.
And the president of the Namibia Football Association, Ranga Haikali, joins us to better explain the decision to expel the professional league from his association, plus the way forward for football in his country once the COVID-19 lockdown is at an end. First up, we speak to Stellenbosch FC and Warriors midfielder Ovidi Karuru, no stranger to success in the Kosafa Cup, having first played in this competition all the way back in 2008.
His magnificent six-goal haul in the 2017 competition helped Zimbabwe sweep to the title, a feat they repeated the following year as well. Thanks so much for joining us. And first of all, what is it about the Kosafa Cup that seems to bring out the best in you?
First and foremost, thank you for having me on your show. And all I can say about the Kosafa is it is a startup tournament. You know, most of the players who play here in South Africa, they come from these countries. So when it comes to Kosafa, it's always a competition, especially between Zimbabwe and Zambia. We call it the Battle of Zambezi. So it always motivates us as players, because we have a lot of Zambian players. And I know here in South Africa, they don't really care much about the Kosafa, but us in Zimbabwe, a tournament is a tournament. We always want to win, always want to gain confidence, because these tournaments, they bring confidence to us as players when it comes to national teams. So it's also a chance for us to fight with the European-based players when they come for Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers and World Cup qualifiers. So I think it's a good stepping stone for us players who are playing in South Africa. The coaches can see what we can do when we join the national team jersey.
Ovidi, this has been a little bit of a disjointed year for international football for obvious reasons, but you were named in the Zimbabwe squad for the March qualifiers and that were then obviously postponed. We are hopeful that those will be played in November, and that means for you a doubleheader against the African champions Algeria. What sort of challenge do you think that'll be?
It's not gonna I think you saw it in Egypt. If only it was not problem about financial problems in Zimbabwe, a good team there, a team that could have gone further in the tournament. But due to the challenges that we face in the country, I think that those were the distractions that we had. But I think we have a good team. We have quite a number of good players who are playing in Europe who are able to come to the party when we play against Algeria. And I think we are ready, because nowadays I think it's not about the name. It's about how you feel as a team. It's about the self-confidence that we have in our team, because we've been playing together for quite a long time now. And we know how we have to play with each other. We understand each other better. So I think it's not going to be tough, that tough, because imagine last time we went on to beat DRC in DRC. So anything can happen in football. It's about how you take the game when you go there.
Added to that, you have South Africa, Ghana, and Ethiopia in your 2022 World Cup qualification group. Is it maybe a blessing in disguise to have a Bafana side that you know so very well?
Yeah, we've been waiting to play. It's been long since we played Bafana. And we always want to play against South Africa, because when we are here at our clubs, we talk about it that Zimbabwe can never beat South Africa or something like that. We have missed the Battle of Limpopo. I think that one is going to be our toughest game, because South Africa doesn't want to lose against Zimbabwe, and we don't want to lose against South Africa. When it comes to Ghana and the other team, I think we just have to go there and come out with the result. Then we we take the reverse fixture at our home ground. But against South Africa, there's no home, there's no away for us, especially players who are playing in South Africa. So it's going to be a tough one. But all I can promise is I don't see us losing the game.
We mentioned at the top of the show that you first played your first CASAFA game at Secunda against Zambia back in 2008. You actually started your international career in 2007. So that's 13 years of international football. What's the secret then to that longevity?
Yeah, I think it's about how you take care of yourself in the sense. Because me, when I first played for national team, it was 2007, yeah, when Mapeza, who was coaching, Chipa, he called me because that was my first year in Zimbabwe Premier Soccer League. And I was doing good with my club. Back then it was Masungo United. He called me for national team. So it was, I think, a dead rub of Africa Cup of Nations qualifier or something. So that was my first international cap at the age of 18. So after that, that's when I could see that my life depends on football. So I started working more harder because I didn't want to disappoint those who were supporting me, especially my family. They've been very supportive. But it hasn't been easy. You know, in football, there are ups and downs, but it's how you take it mentally as a player. Because I believe that as a soccer player, your story has to have a meaning so that when you try to tell other youngsters who are coming up your story, they will be motivated that, okay, well, he defaced this, but he still continued playing.
And what do you know about the new Zimbabwe coach, Zlatko Logorozic?
To be honest, I don't know much about the coach, but from what I've heard from the other players who were in camp, because they were supposed to go for a Chan tournament, from what I've heard, they say he's a straightforward coach, and he thrives on discipline. He says some of them players were late for lunch or dinner. They were almost chased out of camp. So I think he's a strict coach. And in terms of tactics and everything, I don't know much about him. I think I'll have to find out if we get a call-up in November for Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers.
We've seen a steady stream of Zimbabwe players excel in South Africa over the years, more so perhaps than from any other country. Why do you think it is that Zimbabweans seem to settle so well in the PSL?
Like back in the days when we were growing up, like, you know, everyone was coming down south, like everyone, like we say, I'm going to South Africa. So I think it's a thing about Zimbabweans liking South Africa because most of them, they know their families here. Some of them, they have even relatives who are born here. So I think it's a thing about Zimbabweans that we like South Africa. I think it's because of the challenges that we have. And I think Zimbabweans are more hard workers than like people from other countries. Because in terms of the currency in Zimbabwe, like at the moment, we don't have the currency. So if someone comes to South Africa and makes maybe 10,000 rands, he can take care of the family. So I think when you come here, we know the reason why we are here. And I think the South Africans, they made it clear that they want 5 foreign players at a team. So, you know, if you're a foreigner, you just have to die in the fish, working hard. So I think it helped us that we know, like, okay, I can't go back and play home because at home is tough. Because where people are coming from back home is tough. Some of them, maybe if you change their money to rands, it can be less than 2,000 rands a month. There's nothing you can do with money like that. Because most of the soccer players, they come from poor backgrounds. So once you start playing soccer, you become a breadwinner for the family. So imagine if you know that you have a big family behind you that is supporting you, that you have to feed. You just have to work hard as a player.
The last question we wanted to ask you was, your coach, Steve Barker, says that he wants his side to be the best team in the league for the last 6 matches of this elongated season. That means possibly a top 8 place for Stellenbosch. How much of a lottery do you think these next couple of months are going to be, particularly given the fact that you guys have been, everybody's really been on the sidelines waiting for 5 months now to get back onto the field?
Yeah, the good thing is our coach is a good motivator. Like sometimes the way he says to us as players, the way he believes in his his players, is the one that pushes us as a team, because he believes that we can do it. So if the father of the house believes that his children can do this, then it's for us players now to fight for our father. So I'm sure everyone knows what our father wants, and I'm sure everyone is ready to fight, because we know these are gonna be 6 tough games. It's like cup finals, 6 cup finals that we are going to play in the next 1 month or something. So I think everyone is ready, and everyone has been working hard in training, and our leader believes in us, and we're just going to go there and fight for our coach. Because, you know, once you see your coach saying things, maybe in the press or somewhere, then it means he trusts his troops. So we just have to go there to fight for our coach, so that, you know, when people start writing, that they won't be able to write bad things about our coach. So as we are ready to fight for the coach, whatever the coach says, we're going to fight for it. The coach believes that we can make it into top 8. By God's grace, we're going to finish in the top 8.
It is a great delight to have with us one of the up-and-coming coaches in the region, and something of a rarity in that he's from one Kasafa country, but the national coach of another.
Yes, welcome to Thabo Senong, who has taken South Africa to the Under-20 World Cup on 2 previous occasions, but is now in charge of the senior Lesotho side, a post he assumed this time last year.
Coach Senong, thanks very much for your time. 1 year in charge of Lesotho in August. How has it gone for you so far?
Thank you very much, Mark and Nick. Yes, and of course, it's been a pleasure. It was a great opportunity for me, but, you know, also for Lesotho, for Basotho, and the senior nation. We know that we're trying to improve the football in there, and we're looking forward to be one of the fastest growing football nations in the region. And I've enjoyed the culture, you know, of the people, the football. And such a massive challenge, huge opportunity for a young coach, but also a great opportunity for players to buy someone who wants to move them out of their comfort zone.
You speak there of the challenges, coach. What do you see as the kind of the hurdles going forward?
I think it is not a secret that we know that Lesotho football, we are actually semi-professional. So it's not an easy phase, especially when you are a national coach. Maybe the second challenge will be the number of players that are playing in competitive abroad, overseas, or even in competitive countries like South Africa. We have 4 players in South Africa at the moment that are representing the Lesotho national team. We also have 3 student players that are involved in college football in the U.S. So I look forward to see the number growing up, but it is a challenge to have such a minimal number. And then, of course, we're hoping that the number can increase to help some of the players to go out of Lesotho and maybe go to competitive football leagues.
Coach, I mean, it's often said that a small population in a country like Lesotho is a resource problem. But, I mean, there are people who would say, well, Lesotho's got 2 million, Uruguay has got 3.5 million, and we all know how powerful Uruguay is. Is there a way that you can work around this problem of resources, just playing resources, only 2 million people? Is there a way for you to work around it and to become almost a Uruguay of African football?
For sure, absolutely. It's very possible, Mark. Number one, we felt and we think, we believe that having our academy that can help us to build a very solid national under 17 team could be the first start, because not having enough academies in the country has been a challenge, because obviously without the youth, there's no future. With some of the good resources already that we have, like accommodation, training facility, we can be able to identify the best talent in the country, maybe possibly a group of 25 to 30 players in different districts around the country, so that we can be able to fast track them. We all know that developed countries rely on develop players for them in academies, because clubs have resources. But we clubs in Lesotho that don't have resources, it will be very unfair to rely on them to develop players for us. So it is our responsibility as an association in Lesotho, as a football association in Lesotho, to have our own academy that can help us to develop better under 17 players, that will be better under 20 teams, and eventually progress into our senior national team.
Coach, we have heard from CAF that obviously September, the international window is not being used by Africa. That was announced by FIFA. The October window is being given over to friendlies because in Africa they don't assume that travel will be likely and only November will you be able to start. So you talk about friendly matches there. Do you aim to use that October window then to maybe play a few internationals? And are there any plans in the offing to get some friendlies, get some friendly action under your legs, as it were, before you play Benin in November?
We had also looked at having a two-legged friendly match with either Malawi or Swaziland. But then with Gambia, we thought that a West African opposition can be able to help us to reproduce what we're going to face when we play Benin home and away, when we play away, and when we play Sierra Leone at home. So, yes, these are in the plans. But we also look at very close friendlies because we engage a lot with Bloemfontein Celtic. It's a pro club in the South African League, and it's just 2 hours away from where we are in Maseru. So sometimes it suits our logistics, and the kind of competition sometimes could be superior than the kind of competition you get when you play against the national team, because obviously a club has a better tactical rhythm. They are more united. They know each other. They'll always put us under pressure, and I've seen that it's also a possible exercise that is indoors if you want to hide a lot of information from the opponent.
And coach, how much pressure is there on you to get to the Nations Cup finals? Because Lesotho is one of a shortening list of countries who've not yet qualified for the continental showpiece.
Well, we can start with every coach loves to help a team or any other country to achieve its ambitions. And so are the players as well. And the players are fully aware that for us to qualify for the Cup will be an opportunity for them to be in the market window. And then, of course, make history, you know, write history for themselves as footballers of Lesotho.
Last question, Coach. Lesotho's often punched above its weight in the COSAFA Cup, the previous final and semi-final appearances. Are you going to be using this tournament for new talent for the country when it comes around next, or is it something that you're going to chase assiduously with your first stringers?
Well, definitely going to make sure that we play our best team possible, because working in a country like this, that have had players that have never received proper development, we need to be aware that players get better. So players between the ages of 26, 30, that's when they reach their peak, as opposed to other countries all over the world where players peak at the age of 18 and towards the age of 22. So our best players are between 30. It's always important to play the best players in your national team if you want to get the best results. It is our ambition to win a trophy and dominate the region before we can even want to be the force in the continent. So winning COSAFA is our priority, and playing players in the country will be the best route going forward.
Ranga Haikali was voted in as the new president of the Namibia Football Association in February at something of a turbulent time for soccer in the country. He has taken on some tough challenges, as we will hear now.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Haikali, a big welcome to the COSAFA show. You've gone from being the boss of a title-winning team, Black Africa, to assuming the NFA hot seat. In essence, one of the first things that you've had to do is to preside over the expulsion of the professional wing, the Namibia Football League, from your association. That must have been really tough, given your background as a former owner of a professional side.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Yes, indeed, it was a very difficult task, but I should say that the problems between the former member of the NFA, the Namibia Premier League, and the NFA started a long way. We had two seasons where no football was played. We had the normalization committee instituted by FIFA to normalize football in the country, which was more to normalize the NFA and bring certain changes in terms of bringing the members up to date, improving the corporate governance, the issue of outstanding qualified audited financial statements, which also caused the change of auditors based on some few issues that were not adhered to in terms of the FIFA governance committee. So this problem between the NFA and the Namibia Premier League comes a long way, and these fights have been going on. So it's something that we inherited, so it's not a new fight. But yes, you are right by saying that being a club owner in the Premier League makes it more difficult because you know exactly what challenges the top flight league is facing in the country in terms of meeting their objectives. But I am glad that the members decided to basically move forward, and those that don't want to join the bus had to make a decision whether they want to toe the line in terms of the directives that were given by the normalization committee and FIFA in terms of no promotion, no relegation, or whether we want to deal with the squabbles that were prevailing then.
So what is the long-term solution now for pro soccer in Namibia?
I think with the expulsion of the Namibia Premier League from the NFA, the constitution of the NFA is making provision that organized football will resort under the NFA, one. Secondly, that the top flight league in the country will also resort under the NFA, either through the membership of such a league or creating a desk that will later formulate their own constitution and then apply to the NFA as member of such a league. That is the process that we are going to embark on. We all know about the FIFA eConnect program that is now to register and get a database of all the existing clubs in the country, both in the top flight league as well as in the first division, second division, and their women football, and registering all those players through the new database of eConnect. Unfortunately, like many of the football fraternities in the world or sports fraternities, we are also hit by COVID-19. So we hope that we'll overcome these challenges so that we could, after registering the clubs, go ahead and then announce the starting of the league. And our resolution in this case is to basically start all the leagues simultaneously so that we don't have situation like in the past where the Premier League is commencing and, for instance, the first division for the last 3 seasons or 3 years or 3 soccer calendar years, no first division league was in existence or playing in the country. And that creates the abnormal situation of promotion and relegation or sports merit where the teams that play in one league, those that are relegated, and then the next league will have to do promotion and relegation. And that goes with the first division as well as the women football. Despite having a national team consisting of players from the top league, you have all these squabbles and court cases up and down that are basically hammering the smooth operations of football or the leagues playing in the country. So we want to start all these things on a clean slate and make sure that the problems that cause the no promotion, no relegations are not going to reoccur again.
Putting the domestic league aside for a second, what other objectives have you set for yourself for Namibian football in the next few years?
Obviously, one of the main issue that has been hampering the NFA was the governance issue. So we have now put up the various statutory committees, the disciplinary committee, the ethics committee, and the audit and compliance committee. Those committees have to start working. We have also, as an exco, submitted for approval a new policy, and that's the financial policy of the NFA. they dealt with a lot of issues such as procurement, contracting, suppliers' code of conduct, and so on. So our main objective is to put governance into action, obviously starting the football in line with our state of emergency regulations, preparing ourselves for the CHAN and the CAF qualifiers and the World Cup qualifiers. That's now for the national team, the men's national team, the Brave Warriors, as well as the women national team called the Brave Gladiators. So those are our immediate objective in terms of bringing governance into place so that these functions can continue to take place in that fashion.
Do you feel Namibian football has been set back a lot by all the squabbling? Because if you look at the field of play, you qualified for the African Nations Championships in Cameroon. That is no small feat for a country that didn't really have a functioning league. And it does speak very highly of the quality of the Namibian players. So how much of a setback has all of this squabbling been?
Yeah, I can say the squabbling have affected mainly the domestic leagues. It's a shame for us to pride ourselves that for the past three seasons, there was no First Division League playing. We only had the Namibia Premier League playing. However, there was a 14-month period of no football being played in the country. As we were hit by COVID-19, there was no league for over another 12 months. The league was supposed to end May 2020 for the current season. And by the time COVID hit us, the season was not yet started because of all these squabbles. So we had a situation where not only the CHAN qualifiers and so on, we had to basically, as an NFA for the Brave Warriors, keep our national team players fit despite domestic football league being in operation. So it cost us quite a lot of planning and perseverance to keep these players motivated, knowing well that there are a lot of fights between the leadership from the normalization committee. So FIFA bringing in a normalization committee is attesting to an abnormal situation. But it all has to do with leadership and not the clubs or the players. But we all know when elephants are fighting, the grass underneath is the ones to suffer. And that is a very, very unfortunate situation where, because of infights in the leadership, the players have been suffering without any domestic football being played.
All that being said, and just returning to the field of play, what do you see as the prospects of the national team in the coming years?
I think based on the performance they have shown in the last couple of months when we were playing, the players are really motivated. The players are hungry to play football, and all they want to do is just playing football and earn a living. So despite all the squabbles, I am proud to say the players are really willing to go. And it can be termed as a blessing in disguise, but it cannot continue where the players are in that situation because the leaderships continue fighting.
And who is the worst dressed?
Man, no, people kill me.
Catch My Starter Pack only on SL Radio, brought to you by Soccer La Duma.
That's it for another episode of the CASAFA Show. We look forward to bringing you the news and views from the Southern African region in 2 weeks, by which time South Africa's Premier Soccer League will be up and running once again.
In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, as well as at CASAFA.tv and our website, www.casafa.com.
A big thanks to our guests today, and we look forward to bringing you another great lineup next time.
Goodbye.